What if we are far greater than we give ourselves credit for? This is the Possibility Explorer podcast. My name is Dr. Dean here, and I would like to welcome you to an ADHD adventure of life hacks. Hello, beautiful people. Welcome to the Possibility Explorer podcast. This is Dr. Dane here, co-creator of Access Consciousness. I am very happy to be with you today. And today I'm changing things up a little bit. What I'm going to be doing is sharing with you a conversation and an exploration that I've had based on a friend of mine sending me a list of questions that she was curious about for her audience regarding death. And the topic of death is one that is often avoided, or it's weighted down with so many points of view and so many emotions, and you can understand that. And so what I'd like to do with you today is have a different conversation, a different exploration. What I'll be doing is going through and answering these questions and adding some of the awarenesses that I've gotten over many years of working with a lot of people who have experienced many, many, many things, including going on this journey that we're going to be talking about today. So let's dive in, and I very much look forward to hearing what you get from this unique conversation, and I really hope it helps. Here we go. So first, what happens to consciousness after we die? Well, one of the awarenesses I have, I'm a co-creator of something called Access Consciousness, and for the last 21 years, I've been doing my best to bring people to a greater level of awareness of what actually goes on in our world. And consciousness is also synonymous with total awareness. And we have a definition of consciousness where everything exists and nothing is judged. And nowhere is that more prevalent and present than when speaking about death. So my idea, my sense of what occurs when somebody dies, is that the being lives on. It's only the body that dies. The body transitions. The body becomes food for other animals, for example, unless we put them in a little pine box and then they stay there. But, you know, they've done many, many studies and found that the body loses weight by a certain amount of grams right after death. Well, what if that's actually the being? I'm not saying it is. I'm also not saying it's not, but if we can have the awareness that when somebody dies, they're not dying as a being, you know, and there are many cultures who have this awareness and who have let us know that beings have other choices after the body dies, you know, and there are lots of people who believe in past lives, who believe that one life would just not be enough. There are many people also who do believe in one life. So whatever you believe is up to you. But my sense is only the body dies, the being continues. And what the being gets to choose to do after death is actually their choice. Question number two, you say that death doesn't have to be traumatic. What other point of view can you have on death, especially while dealing with personal loss? It's an interesting thing to undergo this journey of awareness in this area because the areas that are the most charged for us are those that we try to resist. We try to develop a fixed point of view in resistance to what seems like it hurts. And what I've found, and I have been near many people who have transitioned, what I found is that death for so many is actually a very peaceful experience. For some, they're getting out of the pain that their body is in. For some, they're getting out of the pain that their life was. For some, it's a celebration of a life well lived and a recognition that they have done their best and are now moving on to something else. And so for me, I've got a different perspective. And one of the tools that I like to share with people is interesting point of view. I have this point of view. It can help us in any difficult situation, in any situation in which we have trauma, in which we have suffering. Interesting point of view, I have this point of view. And you want to say it and notice how the energy changes. So right now, take some upset that you have in your life and just say, interesting point of view, I have this point of view. And what happens to it? For most of us, it changes, even if just a little bit, which is an amazing gift. And now, to whatever energy's there, say, interesting point of view, I have this point of view. And usually it changes again. And one more time, interesting point of view, I have this point of view. And if you're noticing it lightening up at all, then I would suggest saying it a few more times until it's completely light. See, we've been taught that death is a cause of suffering. We've been taught to fear death. Look at this for just a moment, though. If you did not fear death, how much more peace would you have in your life? How much more joy would you have in your life? How much more would you enjoy living right now? What if death is just a transition to a different form for our body? What if you, the being, live on? Now, personally, I believe in past lives because I've seen way too much evidence to not. I didn't grow up that way. I grew up in a home where we weren't very religious, and my dad married another woman when I was a kid, and she started taking us to church and letting us know that that was the answer that we should all have. And certain parts of that felt really light, and certain parts of that felt really heavy. Here's another conversation for you, which is, what's true for you will always make you lighter. Please don't think I want you to have a point of view. The only point of view I'd like you to have is a point of view of ease, a point of view of peace, a point of view that actually allows you to move forward and navigate the world with no need to withdraw from it, but the ability to engage fully in being alive. And so this tool can be very helpful. What's true for you always makes you lighter. A lie for you always makes you heavier. And the weird thing is, if you hear something, even if it's something you might not necessarily agree with, if it's what's actually true for you, it will make you lighter. So as I was saying, for me, I personally believe in past lives because I have had many experiences of working with people, and they had been to see everybody for the suffering they were in. And the only thing we could find that would unlock it was actually a decision or a point of view they came to in some other lifetime. And that, in addition to several personal experiences I've had of knowing people in a certain way or recognizing them, or and the lightness that it brought when I had that awareness, is what brought me to this point of view. This wasn't something I grew up with. It wasn't something I believed in. It wasn't something I believed in at all when the idea was first presented to me. I thought, people that believe in that are quacks and weirdos. And now I'm the quack and the weirdo. Yay. So, well, let me address question number two again. Death doesn't have to be traumatic. What if you realized that it was like pressing reset for someone? What if after death, they have a chance to reevaluate everything and make different choices for their next lifetime? Now, once again, that's my personal point of view, and I hope it helps you too, and just see if it makes you feel lighter. And if it does, then you might realize that there's a lot beyond this world that we don't really understand. And we think somehow science is going to give us the answers, but what I find is deep exploration of asking questions is what actually unlocks all of those awarenesses that we were hoping science would give us. So how to make death less traumatic? Realize it's not really death of the being. It's the body going away, and the being then has choice. Oh yeah, I'm a weirdo. That is true. I'm now the freak and the weirdo. Next one. How can you manage your own self and emotions when you hear of someone passing on, especially when a loved one passes? So here's the thing. What I suggest is be with whatever comes up. A lot of people, if I have this conversation with them, they say, well, I am sad and you're telling me not to be sad that, you know, that my mother died. Oh, no, I disagree. What I suggest is meet it fully. Stare it in the eyes. Be with it. Don't avoid any part of it. Don't avoid any part of the pain. And you're not wrong for feeling pain. Guess what, though? You're also not right for feeling pain. And give yourself a time frame, whatever seems light to you, a day, a week, a month, 6 weeks, 2 months, 3 months, but make I would say 2 to 3 months the outside limit of how long you are going to indulge this completely before you then choose to pick up and start living again. One of the greatest sadnesses to me is to be around those who've had somebody pass that they care about dynamically, and it's as though they stop living. There's one family that I know in New Zealand who there were parents, kids, I think 4 kids, and the male child died when he was very young. And the entire family is still trapped in the trauma. And this was 40, 50 years ago. Can you imagine? Rather than celebrating the gift of life, and this is the other one of the other suggestions I have for you, and I will get back to my previous suggestion, but rather than celebrating the gift of this young child's life and the gift that he was to everyone, they mourned his death so dynamically that they would not let themselves out of it, as though mourning his death was an honoring of the being. One of the other things I do, which is really strange, is actually talk to entities. And entities are just people whose bodies have died and they have not moved on. They didn't get the memo, so to speak. And one of the awarenesses I got, I was having a conversation with my great friend and the founder of Access Consciousness, Gary Douglas. And one of the awarenesses I got is that when we do massive amounts of mourning for someone who has passed, we sort of trap them here. Like we're holding on to them saying, don't go. And they as beings who have choice now to go anywhere and do anything. The sky is not even the limit at this point. They don't. Why? Because they don't want us to hurt. The difficulty is they don't have a body to talk to us. And there are lots of people who have had loved ones pass who say, I just can't get them off my mind. I think about them all the time. And I will say, okay, are they still around you? And they get a look in their eyes, and their face lightens up. They go, yeah, apparently. I said, cool, what do they want to tell you? And 99% of the time, the person will look and kind of be present for a moment and get still. And then they'll blurt something out of their mouth, oftentimes accompanied with tears of relaxation, tears of release, and also tears of laughter sometimes. And I say, so that, you know how I said one of the synonyms for consciousness is total awareness? I said, so that suffering you've been doing, that awareness of that person that makes you think of them all the time, is it because they had this thing to tell you? And if that doesn't clear it, my next question is there something you needed to communicate to them that you didn't, that you can now? Whoa, that's a big one also. And once again, a huge majority of the time, the people know exactly what needs to be said. And here's the interesting thing. Once they receive the communication, or once they say the communication, either one, you can feel a peace enter into their world, and you can sense a peace in the room. The space totally changes. And oftentimes the person goes from distraught, sometimes suicidal, depressed, unable to create their lives, to having a sense of peace and ease. And then what I do is I say, hey, can we talk to the person that passed? And I don't do this in words, by the way. I'm not one of those people who closes their eyes and, you know, goes boo, 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 boo for other people. For me, it's more of a sense of subtle shifts in energy that you can then pick apart to see what's being communicated. I've got a good friend. Her name is Shannon O'Hara Douglas. She actually has a specialty that is called Talk to the Entities. She's got a great book called Talk to the Entities. I've got another friend who's also an Access Consciousness facilitator, whose name is Wendy Mulder. And she has written many books on dealing with death and dealing with grief. I highly recommend those resources. I can't recommend them highly enough. And you know which of those would be more appropriate to you. Some of you have already stopped listening because, well, I just went way too weird and woo-woo. But what I find is, no matter how weird and woo-woo something is, when it's true, it makes you lighter. And not my truth. I don't have a truth here. I'm just trying to present some information to you. And I also know some of you out there are like, of course there are past lives. What are you talking about? I know, but I need to talk to the other people for a moment who may have stopped listening 10, 20, 30, I don't know, 15 minutes ago when I started on this topic. So in communicating, so sometimes I would then communicate with the being and be like, hey, is there anything else you require? And when there's a sense of peace, because you can sense the peace that the person has, but you can also sense the peace in the space around them, which is more what the entity, quote unquote, or the being has that's still stuck. And you can feel their need to stick around, their need to try to communicate, their immense need. You can feel it disappear out of the room. It's beautiful. And then when you talk to them and go, hey, what would you like to do in your next lifetime? Well, there's lots of choices. They could stay around the person as a guardian angel. They just need to ask for that and sort of press a reset switch, as far as I can tell, and ask to be that. Or they can go get a new body. They could go get a new body and see that person again if they really wanted to. But when looking from that perspective, this idea of death stops becoming something that we fear. It stops being something that we avoid. And instead, it starts to give us this amazing space of beauty from which to perceive everything in the universe from a different space. Because if you didn't have to avoid death, you can truly, fully live. Have you encountered death at close quarters? Yes, many times. What was your response to it? How did you deal with it? Well, I encountered death of my grandparents when I was younger. And during my teenage years and also when I was in my early 20s. My grandmother died when I was a teenager, and I did not handle that very well. But also, the only thing that I had around me were people that were telling me how bad and terrible it was, how terrible that she left, how terrible. But this woman was in pain from cancer for years. And even as a young kid, when she finally died, and I spent time with her on her last evening, her body's last evening here on earth. And when she finally died, I had a sense of peace. I was like, Grandma, I'm so glad you're out of pain, and I will truly, truly miss you. Oh, you know, I never went back to the first answer to the question of be with whatever it is that you're experiencing and give yourself a time frame to wallow in it and fully experience it so you're not missing any part of it. Don't let it take control, but surrender completely to it. So when my grandmother died, I actually had a sense of peace while having a dynamic sense of grief. It was an interesting combination. And I spoke to a family member who said, well, everybody else was going, oh, it's so bad that she passed. I remember at the funeral, you know, the party after the funeral. Interesting. The party after the funeral. I remember at that event how there were many people that were there talking about how terrible it was. And, you know, she was such a wonderful person. She'll be missed. And she held the family together and it's probably going to fall apart. And none of that was light. I didn't have the tool at the time. And I had one family member who said, I'm so glad that she's out of pain. And I went, oh my goodness, me too. I'm so grateful that she found a way to get out of pain. So when my grandfather died, this is interesting because I was just at a point where I had made the choice to go to chiropractic school. And this was a dream. I was so excited. But like most of the other dreams I'd had in my life up until that point, I basically let it go. I basically stopped on my own dream and was so far from making that happen. There were classes I needed to take, science classes, and I was nowhere close to being able to make that happen. And my grandfather was going through this liver failure that was what eventually killed him. And I was working at a car wash, okay? I was, you know, the intake guy that was, what kind of car wash would you like? What about a wax? That kind of guy. And I'll never forget it. My uncle called me because my grandfather was doing hospice at his house. And he said, Dane, Grandpa really needs to see you tonight. And I was like, oh, you know what? How about tomorrow? I've got time tomorrow. And he's all, no, tonight. So I left my friends and drove right over there. And here was a man who was gasping for air, could hardly breathe. And he, in between gasps, he said, promise me you'll go. This was all he could manage to say. And I looked at him and I said, Grandpa, I promise. I held his hand and I was with him for a while. And I wanted to let him know that, okay, I will do this. So if you're dying tonight, you can die in peace. Well, he died a couple hours later. Those were the last words he had uttered to anyone. Now, my mix of emotions was running the gamut on that one. And what I did, though, was I had such gratitude for the fact that he loved me enough. And he was not somebody who would really say, I love you, or talk very much about any of those feeling things. But he showed me how very much he loved me by making sure that his last breath were to make sure that I got on the path I needed. Had I not gone there, I would not be speaking to you right now. I probably would not be here right now. So what I did, though, was I started talking to him. You know how you talk to God sometimes and, you know, and you just start talking, hoping somebody's listening. And I just started talking to him. And I started saying everything that I didn't get a chance to say. This is another thing that I suggest that you do. And every time I would get more and more and more peace. And within a few weeks, I had mostly peace. And within a few months, I had a lot more peace. And then it just seemed like I could have gratitude for the gift that this beautiful man was in my life. And gratitude for the fact that he was able to make a choice. And once again, at this point, I thought when somebody died, they died. But still, that didn't make sense because also I'd had some exposure to church where, you know, the idea was you could go to heaven or hell. And I think the difficulty is, you know, people who have that as their framework are always assuming they're the ones going to hell, which probably means they're not going to go to hell. That's all I'm thinking. Anyway, it was an interesting thing to experience that. And in the years after that, since I started doing Access Consciousness, because I do this form of energetic healing and transformation or contribution to people, I've had many, many, many people who had different diseases, let's say, or different things going on, and worked with many people that were on the path to death, shall we say. And I've had so many experiences, many of people who actually chose to live, because we found what was actually going on. They were the ones that made the choice. I'm not the one that healed them. I can't heal anybody, but I can point you in a direction that will allow you to at least get more awareness, which from my point of view, more awareness and more consciousness is where all the healing comes from anyway, because it's only our fixed points of view, our lies that we tell ourselves, the things that we must keep hidden that create pain or disease for us. So I've had many, many people who have chosen to transition. I've had many, many people who have chosen to stick around that are alive to this day. One of the most beautiful ones that chose to transition was a lady that I worked on at a class I do called Energetic Synthesis of Being, which is about giving you a platform for your very being, getting energetically to the basis of what is true for you as a being. And it's such a wonderful class to facilitate. I am so grateful to be able to do this work. Well, I had a lady who was in her 60s. She was an Italian woman. And she was one of those sturdy little stout little Italian grandmothers, you know? Well, I ended up bringing her up on the stage and giving her a session. Now, she was in fourth stage cancer at that point. And so I asked her, if you could have anything out of this, what would it be? And she said, peace. And I was like, wow, what a beautiful request. Okay. As we started working, there was one point at which my hand was really lightly on her back and it just melted into her back and you could feel her whole body relax. And she took this deep breath. And I realized that was probably the first time in her life she'd been touched with total caring and no judgment. And it was so beautiful. I started crying. Everybody in the room started crying. So I sat her up at the end of the session, which was just a few minutes later. I sat her up at the end of the session and she looked transformed. She looked like somebody who had had the weight of the world taken off of her shoulders. And I was so moved and touched by the difference in this beautiful woman and how she was presenting. I couldn't facilitate the class any longer that day. So I ended class a little early that day. And I walked out of there with a sense of gratitude and a sense of the connection of all things. See, and this is one of the experiences that has shown me what not avoiding death and the dying process can do for us. So I got an email 2 weeks later from her friend who was translating for her. And she said, "I want to thank you so much. I truly am at peace. And now I don't know whether I will be living or this body will be dying, but I'm going to enjoy every day and every moment of every day. Thank you." Whew. Oh, goodness. What a gift. What an amazing gift to receive. And she ended up dying about 6 months later. And her friend sent me another email letting me know, number one, and thanking me again, because she said the transformation in this woman was phenomenal. She, who had been unhappy for most of her adult life, she who had not let others in, started connecting with other people, started hugging them and not letting them go. And the lady said, after that session was the first real hug I've ever had with her. And she also wanted me to thank you. She wanted me to thank you because she said the last 6 months of her life were like an entire lifetime in themselves. And they were the greatest 6 months she's ever had so far, and she is looking forward to what's ahead. So, once again, take what makes you lighter. But I'll tell you, it's an amazing perspective. It's an amazing thing to be in the presence of something that truly beautiful. My sense is we all have a lot more beauty within us than we've been acknowledging. And I think what really gets people, especially if they, like almost all of us, have been conditioned to believe in the value of judgment, in the wrongness of all the wrong choices, and the rightness of the right choices that eventually turn wrong. Because when your perspective is that of judgment, you always end up in a place of wrongness, no matter how right you're trying to be, no matter how right you think you are for a particular choice. Wrongness is always the end result of judgment. And if you add on top of that, that, you know, if you're wrong, you're going to hell, or if you're wrong, you're going to suffer in purgatory or what have you. I'm sorry, that's just a mechanism for control. That's a mechanism so people don't have peace in living. That's a mechanism to control people, to get them to make someone outside of them the source and the answer. And I fully believe that there are many things outside of us that are an amazing contribution, and many people, and the plants, and the animals, and the planet itself, and so many things that are a contribution. But to put the source for our eternal happiness outside of us seems to me placing it where it will do the least good and create the most judgment. Next one, what's the best thing we can offer a loved one that has departed? That conversation has already been had, but let me reemphasize. The best thing we can do is to mourn them and then stop the mourning and start celebrating being alive and remember the beautiful moments with them and remember the gift that they were in our lives. Remember the contribution they were to us and other people, and think of them fondly and often. It's a totally different perspective, but look at it energetically for a moment. If you're a being who's aware of energy, which all beings are, energy is our first language for all of us. If you're a being who's aware of energy, wouldn't it be wonderful to have gratitude, admiration, and joy at your presence flowing your way? Rather than, oh my God, I'm so sad that you've gone. It's all your fault that I'm suffering. I can't live without you. We have choice in how we respond to these things. We have choice in how we respond to the concept of death. What choice will create the most for us and them? And the other thing is, one of the things that may be really challenging for us to look at is that When somebody dies, a lot of times we get really sad. But actually, one of the things that may be underneath that is actually anger. Where you're angry at them for leaving, but even more than that, you're angry at them because your life has now changed in a way you can't control or define. My best friend Gary, the founder of Access Consciousness, his dad died when he was 17. And he was depressed and he was angry until one day he realized, oh my God, I love my dad, but I'm actually angry that my life has changed. Now, he's got a willingness to have a level of self-awareness that few people on the planet have, just part of what makes him such an amazing gift to so many people. But when he realized that, he got over a huge amount of the drama that he was doing. So you might just ask yourself, am I angry at them because my life has changed? Next question, can one communicate with them when one really misses them? Abso-friggin-lutely. I've already covered that one. Next one, some people believe that their loved ones are still around even after death. So do I. And some believe that they have gone away to a place that ends our relationship with them. Where do you think people go when they die, or does physical death mean the end of the person in every way? That one I have dynamically covered. And full disclosure, I didn't read these questions before I started because I wanted to approach them fresh. And isn't it interesting how energetically the conversation goes where it goes that actually creates the awareness? Next question. When we hear of someone being diagnosed with a so-called incurable disease, our first thought is the fear of losing them. Is there another response that we could perhaps cultivate? Oh, I would really hope that people would. And I need to tell you one of the things that I have learned to ask. When someone comes to me with an incurable disease, wait for it. You may not like it, but hopefully you'll see where I'm coming from in asking. And I learned it from my friend Gary, who had dealt with many more of these situations than I had when I first started. The question that I asked somebody, let me tell you about working with a lady who had cancer. I said, what are you dying to get out of with cancer? Now, can you imagine how confronting that question must be? Why? Because what are we taught as a society? That this person is not choosing this. It's happening to them. This is the single greatest thing that stops people from changing these things. The idea that they made no choice that created it. And yet, if you talk to psychologists who deal with people that are passing, there's so much unresolved psychological baggage that people who have incurable diseases have, especially something like cancer. So I asked this question, what are you dying to get out of? And she said, nothing. That makes no sense. I want to live. I said, I know. What are you dying to get out of? And we have this thing called a clearing statement in Access Consciousness, which when you run it after asking a question, it clears a layer of sort of the stuckness to it, the stuck energy, if you will, that is keeping them from having a different awareness and being able to make a different choice and from having a different perspective. So I asked her this many times, running the clearing statement each time. After about the 20th time, I said, what are you dying to get out of? And she went, oh my God, my relationship. Whoa. This lady was in her 60s or 70s. And I said, how long have you been married? And she said, 40 some years. I don't remember exactly. Over 40 years. And I was like, wow, how long have you wanted to get out? She said, about the past 25 years. I said, why did you not leave? And she said, I could never do that to my kids. And I don't want to hurt him. And I'm like, okay, so you're hurting him now by him having to watch you go through this. And it was very interesting because I asked her, I said, let's look from a different perspective. What are the other choices you could have available if you would allow yourself? And what happened was, what really was going on for this particular person was that she was not creating her life and hadn't since she had her first child. Her entire life was devoted to her kids and her husband. And everybody else was fine with that because they didn't know she wanted something different. They just thought she was the coolest mom in the world who was there to give them everything and be there for them and work for them and clean up after them and all this stuff. Inside, she was hating it. So what we did is we talked about some ways that she could actually change those things, have different relationships with the people that she loved. and she chose to live several more years. So, for me, when I hear of somebody having an incurable disease, I know that there's some choice. And we got to also realize this, which is choice is not cognitive. The choices that we make, 99% of them are not something where we said, I am making this choice. 99% of them are things where we made some choice without even thinking about it, without even realizing it, a gut reaction, so to speak, to something, and felt like we couldn't make any other choice, which is why a huge part of the work that I do is about empowering people to choose, to know they have choice. So when I hear of somebody who's got an incurable disease, I always know they have choice, even though they may not know it, and even though they may not know the choices that led to that. And by the way, when I say this, I'm not saying, oh, it's all their fault. Not at all. You see, my point of view is people do the best job they can with the tools they have available. It's just that so many of us have had such poor tools along the way. Nobody teaches us how to deal with grief. Nobody teaches us how to deal with things in a way that isn't about us being right or wrong, but is about the possibilities that can be created, about how a situation can be changed, about how a relationship can be changed, about the fact that we have choice. These things are not taught. So I'm so grateful for the work I get to do. So grateful I get to do this access consciousness work around the world, because as people start to embrace this and realize they have choice, and realize that the life you have today is a result of the choices you made yesterday, and 10 and 20 and 30 and 40 and 50 and 100 and maybe 1,000 or 10,000 or 100,000 years ago, it gives you a different perspective. So I'm not saying that these people are wrong in any way. In fact, what I would be doing is working to try to get them out of the idea that they're wrong, both for having created this disease in the first place, or having it, should I say, and also for the things they're judging themselves for in their lives, because this is another one of the manifestations of massive self-judgment. So I like to look at the underlying energetics of it. And I ask this question always, is there anything I can contribute? And is there anything I can be or offer that would help them to change this, or help them have choice and help them have a different perspective? These are things that we can do that might be very, very beneficial, or very, very beneficial, depending on your particular point of view. Can we actually prepare ourselves to handle death better? Yes, I think this entire conversation is going in that direction. Next question. Many people suffer from survival's guilt and refuse to carry on with things that bring them joy. How can one go back to living with joy, ease, and glory after loss? I really do believe that it comes from the awareness that each being chooses. They also choose, in a rough sense, to die, or when they die and how. And I know that can also be very confrontational. Once again, just my point of view, you don't have to take it. Take what makes you feel lighter. But that, in conjunction with the other conversations that we've had around this, I'm hoping will give people a dynamically different perspective. The other thing is, guilt is something that we have the ability to deal with in access consciousness. The difficulty is the explanation of it goes way beyond what we can deal with in this conversation. But let me suffice it to say that guilt, blame, shame, regret, anger, hate, fear, and doubt are all something called distractor implants. And what is an implant? Well, an implant is basically something you buy as a reality from the outside, and you make it more real than the reality that's true for you. So these are things called distractor implants. You can use the clearing statement that I talked about on them. It's highly effective. But if we can recognize that the greatest gift we can give those who have passed is to honor them, honor the gift that they were in our lives, and ask if there's anything that we can contribute. Is there anything they need to hear? Is there anything we need to say to them that we're still holding on to and not free of? And then ask them what choice they would like to make in their future. And you can also ask them, because people stick around here, as I've spoken about before, these so-called entities. You can also ask them, who are you? Like, truth, who are you? Truth, who were you before that? Truth, who were you before that? And once the energy lightens up, after asking several times, you go, truth, who will you be in the future? Or truth, what is your job? Because sometimes they'll stick around because they have a job, you know, to protect somebody or to love them or care for them. And their body may die, but it doesn't mean they, the being, have given up the job. And what you can do is go, truth, what is your job? Truth, what was your job before that? Truth, what was your job before that? Truth, what will your job be in the future? And you do that because what that does is that is giving the entity awareness. It's giving them consciousness about the fact that they're not just doing this job. They've had other jobs before and before that and before that. And there's a certain point at which they go, oh, I don't have to be stuck in this job anymore. I've given up all the others. And then they can go free, which is when you ask, what job will you have in the future? Same thing with an identity when you ask them, who are you? You know, the being is like, oh, I'm Timmy's grandmother. Okay, who are you before that? Oh, I was working on a train. Okay, who are you before that? Oh, I was married and had this other family. Who are you before that? And then they get all these awarenesses. And that gives them the freedom to get unstuck from the identity they're currently stuck in. Whew. Yeah, when I first learned that, I was like, really? And I tried it because I had a friend who was experiencing some very interesting things. And she said, I think it's an entity. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I can't deal with that. That's too freaky. By the way, if you hear about this stuff, about entities. And what's interesting is I know of no way, without watering things down really dynamically, I know of no way of giving somebody peace with death other than recognizing that the being dies and the body doesn't. And talking about this entity conversation and that you can actually talk to the being, which is why I'm going here. Believe me, it would be easier for me if I didn't have to. So when this lady said this about, I think it's an entity. So we did this entity clearing and I will never forget it. It felt like somebody turned on the air conditioning full blast all around me and her. And we both looked at each other and went, oh, I guess this shit works. And it was my first time having an experience like that. I was just blown away. See, and part of the reason I'm speaking to you about so many of the things that I have, I'm not somebody who will say, do this if I haven't done it. I'm not somebody who will present something if it doesn't make me dynamically lighter. I'm not here to tell you what to do and then not do it myself. Everything I have been talking to you about is hard-earned experience. So please take it in the spirit in which it is intended, which is creating more lightness for you and those who might benefit from this information. And don't go all in on the weird woo-woo stuff. Talk about the more normal stuff. And you can ask somebody, does the being die or just the body? Or you can say, hey, I heard this weirdo talking the other day who said, and I don't know, I felt lighter after I heard it. You know, I got more peace. Say whatever you need to if you think it might benefit them to hear this or be part of this. And say, you know, he was saying that his point of view is the being dies, the body doesn't, the being goes on. Does that make you lighter? Does that relieve any of the stress? Speak English to people or whatever your language is, but speak to them in real words and then see what they become aware of. Recognize all of us are way more aware than we've acknowledged. And that's why this stuff works, because we have awarenesses like this. If somebody can just ask us the right question, we can absolutely acknowledge that awareness. Last question, should we prepare our minds and bodies for our eventual death? How can we do that? You know, it's interesting, when one fears death, they spend their entire life dreading it. When one no longer fears death, they can spend their life living it. And that would be my suggestion. What if the purpose of life were to have fun and enjoy it more dynamically than we ever thought possible? What if the purpose of life were to have such enrichment, such joy, such connection with others, such gratitude, such a sense of amazingness for the world we live in and what we get to be, do, have, create, and generate, that when it came time for us to finally leave this body, we were not only ready, but we had a sense of ease knowing that we had truly, fully lived. And knowing that we gave it our damn best shot, man. I sure as hell didn't do it all perfectly, but boy, did I give it my best shot. And what if we could hold our heads up high in that transition with gratitude and a knowing that what comes after this can be even greater than what came before? So, beautiful people, thank you very much for listening. I'm very grateful you have taken the time out of your day. I do realize how precious your time is. I apologize for the length of this, but this is a subject that requires a lot of cracks to be filled in to sort of fill out the picture, to hopefully give you a dynamically different awareness of what is actually possible. And from my perspective, there are so many beautiful and amazing things that are actually possible. Here's to you and having ease with everything that lies ahead. And here's to you in truly enjoying being alive. And what if you, truly being you, truly enjoying your life, and creating the life and living of your dreams, are the gift, the change, and the possibility this world requires? I thank you for being my beautiful friends. I look forward to meeting you in person someday and giving you a big ol' hug.
Bye-bye.
This is Dr. Dane signing off from the back of a fire-breathing dragon, soaring into the unknown. Remember, you have to leap in order to know you have wings.